Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is Monday, April 18th. Actually, today is tax day. I said it was on the 15th on Friday, but I guess they pushed it to the 18th this year.
Yeah. They give you a little extra time.
Right. Did you do anything about it?
Nah. Oh, I filed an extension.
You filed? I know. That's what everybody does. That's what I did. Like I said, I need only 2 hours, and I haven't found them in 4 months to do the friggin' tax return, you know? So
mine's just like a bit complicated. It's not, you know, like,
because you do a lot of different things,
right?
Huh? Wow.
It's, you know, like my, a lot of my friends and stuff, they just have their regular day job, you know.
Exactly. They get one W-2 at the end of the year,
right?
And you get a million of them, probably.
Exactly.
Wow.
So I have to give it to an accountant. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I don't even want to
do it the right way.
I don't even want to mess with it.
Exactly. Do it the right way. You know, I mean, the self-preparation tax software is good for people who know what they're doing, and it's relatively simple, you know. But
right.
If you start, like, doing a lot of complicated things, forget about it. Get yourself an accountant. You'll be happy, right?
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Kelsey?
It was good.
Really?
I
actually drove by where you live yesterday
way
to the beach.
Oh! Yeah. Did you go riding?
Yes, I went riding. I went
good.
With a friend. And I finally got air in my tires and my bike that's been sitting around for a year. And we went to the beach, Santa Monica, rode the path. It was just amazing, Kelsey.
Good.
What a beautiful day it was.
Wasn't it?
Yes. And so we rode the bike. We walked around Venice, saw all the characters there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know.
Did you know they have like a freak show booth there or something?
Yeah, I didn't like know this, that.
Yeah, I know. That. I kind of remembered, but my friend is like, I didn't know they had this here. I said, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, so they have like the shortest woman and
oh, that's so funny.
Things like that, but it didn't go in. I don't like these things.
Right.
They don't appeal to me.
Right.
But I took Beverly Glen and stuff, so I drove by your house because I wanted to avoid the freeway.
Right. Good.
So going to the beach is best to go before 12, you know? Otherwise, you hit the traffic and it's very bad. So we went before that. And then we stopped at a cafe along the path, so you get to watch people. And
that's always my favorite part. I'm
right?
Like, okay, I'm riding so that I can eat something good.
Right, exactly.
Ride to the restaurant path.
Exactly. Get a beer or something, you know. And,
right.
And sit in the sun, and it was just amazing, and watching all the bikinis walking by and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can imagine we had fun.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. I got to actually see a friend of mine from high school yesterday.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
How long haven't you seen that friend?
I haven't seen him in years.
Really?
And he's stationed out here in the Marine Corps. And so he texted me yesterday and was like, hey, I'm at Sir. You know, Sir Nightclub, which is like in West Hollywood, right off Robertson.
Right.
And I thought, oh, gosh, I got to go see him. So I swung by for a drink. So that was really fun. And then I went to an audition on Saturday, and I couldn't believe the traffic, speaking of traffic.
Really?
It was like rush hour traffic on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
What time? Like around afternoon or
it
something?
It was around noon, yeah.
Noon?
Around noon.
Yeah.
And I was coming this way, actually, because I was the audition was like at a park, and so it was bizarre. Yeah, I can't believe it.
Audition at a park.
Yeah, they do that.
You sure have an interesting life, let me tell you. I mean, you get in all kinds of situations.
I know, it changes every day.
Yeah, I know. But no, I had a full weekend. Friends, family, worked. So, but everything was just perfect. You know, I felt like I didn't have 2 minutes to sit down and relax. You know.
Yeah.
So it was good. Since weekends, I often don't do anything, you know.
Right.
So, but I think the summer, the weather, everything else, you know. Plus, I'm focusing more on my social life now. So
that's good. That's
yeah.
Good
so
thing.
Things should start happening and stuff, you know. But yeah, yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to get to our guest who's sitting here patiently or impatiently. I don't know. But a very special guest. It's going to be a very fun show. We always like talking about relationships and men and women. Who doesn't like to talk about that, right?
I know.
It's endless, endless. And yeah, yeah. So are you busy this week? I mean, do you have a lot of stuff you're going to do?
This week's pretty busy.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty busy. You know, I have the soap opera that's recording this afternoon.
Right.
And I'm meeting with my agent to sort out some things later. So, and then, you know, the rest of the week is pretty intense as well. I'm working a couple jobs and yeah.
Yeah, good, good. I'm glad to hear, yeah. So, well, I mean, but did you do anything specific this weekend or anything special? You just met the friend, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you go out at all? Like, you know, I mean.
You know, I did,
in
actually.
In the nice weather or did you stay in?
I did. Well, you know, most of my going out was like at night.
Yeah.
Which is odd for me because I don't usually go out anymore. But
that's true.
Yeah. So Friday, it was a really busy weekend. Friday, I had this audition for a Beachbody affiliate.
What's Beachbody?
Beachbody is like a big fitness company.
Okay.
And so they're, you know, having a doing a network show, actually. And so I was auditioning for that, and I almost died.
Why?
Well, it was a fit test.
Oh,
it was
like
it was the last audition. And it was fine. It was fine. I actually didn't almost die. I survived. But but yeah, we had to do a lot of jump rope, which is great. But I just, that's not in my fitness routine. So
right.
I just, you know, it took me a while to kind of catch on to it because I don't, you know, have muscle memory with it. I don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
But anyways, it went really well. It was in Orange County. And then I had a meeting after about this documentary that I'm going to be narrating called Ghosts. And we're trying to release it at the same time as the Ghostbusters movie.
Really?
Which is, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, that'd I mean, cool. I have like 3 or 4 days of filming on it.
Yeah.
And I'll be narrating it. So it'll be lots of fun. It's down in Valencia that we'll be filming, I think. And so I had to go to Malibu to meet with the producers about that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Saturday I went out with my girlfriend Jen, who I've been friends with since college, and so that was really fun. We went and we had sushi off of Pico.
Wow, does she live here?
She does.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very
she
cool.
actually lives in Sherman Oaks, like right around here. So.
Wow, very cool.
I know, and yeah, it was like really expensive.
Really?
I had sticker shock.
What sushi did you go to?
I was like, you know, I don't even really remember the name of it. It was like right off Pico, right across from the West Side Pavilion Mall.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't remember the name.
Sounds like an expensive location.
I know.
So it
and
cost a lot for
I
the
know.
Sushi?
Yeah, oh, but it was, well, we tried to wait till happy hour, but happy hour didn't start till 10, and we were like getting really hungry.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, oh well.
They'll teach you to go without a date.
I know.
You know,
right?
You gotta have a guy pay
well,
for it.
Well, actually, a guy did pay for it. So, like, Jen's friend paid for it.
Oh, okay.
Really nice.
So you
I know.
Didn't have
we brought somebody with us for that.
Yeah, right. Let's bring along the Briggs truck to the restaurant.
It's like, come on. Don't take me for a fool. I'm not that stupid. So I got off easy.
Yeah. But listen, with all the fitness work you're doing, you got to start getting even more fit, right? According to what you say. I mean, because you say it's like you're not as fit as you should be, right?
No, I am.
You are?
I mean, it's just, there's all different.
So why do you always feel like you're going to die?
Well, everybody does, I think.
Right.
I mean, you know, anytime.
I mean,
you're
I would die before I started just thinking about it.
Right.
I would die. Yeah.
I mean, the most fit person in the world, like.
Really?
You know,
yeah.
Throw anything.
So, you invest time every day working out and stuff like that?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I do. I try to.
I
mean, every
that.
Now and then, you know, I miss a day or two, but
yeah.
it's pretty.
But you
regular.
Definitely have it in your routine.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I actually
okay.
Try
so
to,
we've established that. I take it back. I thought you didn't.
It's okay.
So I don't know.
I try to actually do it. I usually do it before the show every day, before my first job. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But sometimes that doesn't work out, and I end up doing it at night. But I know.
But at least you're doing it, you know. That's
yeah, and I usually try to get up, and you know, my clock or whatever. Natural clock wakes me up about 6 o'clock every morning. So what else am I going to do? You know?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You're very fortunate to have that. I wish I had that. But yeah. No. I mean, actually, Saturday night was such a partied with a couple friends,
which
I usually don't do.
Yeah.
We stay. I mean, I went to bed at probably 5:30 in the morning.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Almost sunrise.
Crazy kid.
And got up at 9 to go bike riding, you know.
Wow.
So.
Hey.
Yeah. But that's the thing, you know. Go back to my 20s and
seriously.
Relive it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I know.
Practically watch the sun come up.
I know. But, yeah, I'm not cut out for partying the way
Dude,
I used to
neither.
Be.
Dude, me neither.
Listen to you.
I swear.
Then what do you get at my age,
then? It was all downhill after 25.
Yeah,
I know,
right.
It was. I started getting worse hangovers and, you know. But now I think I have a formula figured out.
Yeah.
All about what you drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us the formula. What do you have to drink?
I mean, if I just stick to like Diet Coke and vodka, I don't really get a hangover.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you know.
But wine, as much as I love it. Tends to give me a bad hangover.
Yeah, I know. Well, just one more thing, and we're going to get to our guest. I wanted to bring this up because I thought it's interesting about job growth. They're saying that actually the five of America's fastest growing jobs pay less than $25,000 a year. So in other words, the demand is on the lower end.
Right.
Right? So what do they need? They need cooks. They need, you know, like personal care aides, home health aides, retail salespeople, and restaurant cooks. And none of these people makes more than $25,000. But the way to go, if you can do it, is be a registered nurse. They make – that has like a huge demand, and they make it about $66,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously a lot better. And that's probably why many – people get into being an RN,
right.
But it's hard work. It's hard work. But you know what? I got to tell you. An RN makes $66,000, right? Mm-hmm. Now you take a home health aide or a personal care aide, and you're thinking, don't they do the same work, if not harder? You know, clean up the people, you know, help them out, get into bed, get out of bed, do this, do that, the medication, all that stuff. That's the same work as a registered nurse. So why are we paying them so little? You know, and I'll tell you why. It's because it's usually probably immigrants and things like that. You know, people pay them less than minimum wage, whatever.
I agree. I do agree with you. Now, I do have to say, though, I know a lot of registered nurses, and they're super educated. Like, they work 12-hour shifts,
it's
a little different.
Yeah, you have to know a lot, right?
Yeah, they're in the hospital environment, and they...
That's true. What am I talking about? I mean, they need to be able to give you shots. And,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like okay.
So it's like different.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. I guess I was thinking more of like a nursing home or something, you know, where they take care of people and clean up their crap and stuff, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's what I think about when personal care and nurses, and I'm like, why would anybody want to do that, right?
Yeah.
But then again, I asked my doctor one time when he was sticking his finger up my butt.
I asked him,
is that why you went to school for 8 years to look up people's asses, you know? And he's like, well, that's not all I do.
Oh my God!
You know, I had to say this because I mean,
that's so funny.
I just remembered, and I thought, you go to school to all these years just to be doing that.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, let's get out of that picture, that visual, and we're gonna get to our guest, our beautiful, bright, and shiny guest. We have Miss Carrie Zane in the studio. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you.
And you're coming to us from Marina Del Rey, you said?
I do.
Right? How long, are you an L.A. native?
I'd like to think so, but no.
Born here?
No. Sadly, no. I was born in Massachusetts, and I grew up in Orange County.
Oh, really?
But you grew up in Orange County, so, okay.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, pretty native.
Yeah, close
pretty
enough.
Pretty native. I mean, this is home, yeah. So, obviously you like living here, right?
I love it. I love Marina Del Rey. I've been there for about 6 months now.
Right.
Oh, wow. Where did you move from?
Long Beach.
Ah, okay. Oh, wow.
she likes water.
Yeah,
there you go.
Move.
See, some people know how to live, man, you know.
Not far from the boats.
Yeah, we live here in the valley where it's a scorcher every day in the summer. You know, and you guys get the breeze. I mean, I know. I was on the beach yesterday. It's like it's 90 degrees out, but the nice cool breeze, you don't feel it, you know. And yet here, I couldn't ride the bike yesterday. There's no way. It was so hot, you know. So, Kerry Zane, tell us a little bit about what you do. I mean, you're multi-talented. You do a lot of different things and stuff. You just came out with a book. Is the book My Lover's Keeper, has that been released yet?
It releases May 3rd. So you guys May 3rd. Are the first ones to get the first
copy. So it's
copy.
Like 2 weeks, right? Ah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. So and you mentioned like your baby, and that's funny because every time we talk to authors, I say it's like a baby for you, right? Because you go through the period where you know, you work on it, you build it, you dream it. Right? You put in all the work and everything, and then finally it comes out.
Right.
Right? And it's like your little baby. I mean, you've become so attached to it.
Yeah. It was actually quicker to give birth to my two daughters than it was to give birth to this
book. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, luckily.
That was 10 months. This was 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. Wow.
So is that what you do? Are you mainly an author or, I mean, well, I know that you're not. But you see, that's why I told you I don't like to find out anything about the guest beforehand. Because yeah. Then you ask them things you already know.
Yeah.
But no, you're multi-talented. Tell us some of the things that you do.
I am. I'm a multi-talented multitasker. I have been in TV for 25 years. I produced hundreds and hundreds of hours of television. And this was a leap for me. It was kind of strange because when you work in television, there's a lot of writing that you do. And yet somehow I felt like I couldn't write dialogue. So I really challenged myself with the book. And it was amazing how the characters come to life in your head. It's actually kind of scary. But
Yeah. The book is My Lover's Keeper. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Kerry Zane. Her book is coming out in a couple weeks. The cover is amazing.
Right? That's my favorite part so far.
Right.
I can't wait to read it. You know,
but you know, you got to admit, and I went to the book festival the other day, last week it was, and I was talking to some authors and stuff, and I told them, I said, don't believe anything they say about book covers. They're very important.
Yeah.
Oh, they're very so important. True.
Because you got to stand out, and you know, and all this gluttony of so much. You know, how do you stand out? You got to have a good cover.
That's
and
so
this
true.
One's cool. This cover will tell you this is a chick's book, right? It's a
it
chick's
will.
Drawing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a chick that drew this, although you never know. I mean, you know, guys can draw very well, too. But, Kerry, who made the art for you? Let's give him some credit.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. You know what?
No, you don't want to give him credit?
I wish I could remember her name. But she's a wonderful artist, and I believe she lives in Ireland. And actually, this is an interesting story because I found her on Fiverr. You're familiar with Fiverr?
I am Fiverr. So. I know. You find some really cool people that do work for $5, but then you do...
Fiverr, no way. I've never even heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
They'll do a lot of things for you. If you need voiceover, you need graphic design. They do a lot of things. I mean, obviously not a big job.
Right.
But you can also meet talented people that way.
That's really cool.
And then you give them other work, and that's what I do.
I think her name is actually inside. But I think you're right, speaking to the book, people pick up books because they like the covers first.
Right, exactly.
And then they'll turn it over and they'll read the back. And if the back is compelling, then maybe they'll open it and sort of look at a few pages.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay.
And that goes exactly for relationships as well, right? For dating. You know, I mean, the first thing is like you'll see is the outside.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
So, that's why you got to present yourself well, you know, just like a good cover for the book.
Right.
Wow. So that's cool. So, I mean, did you have to, was that a female artist then?
It was a female artist.
Okay. How did you convey the idea to her of what you wanted to happen? How you wanted the art, what you envisioned?
I knew the story is about a love triangle gone wrong.
Right.
Okay. And so I wanted to have my three main characters on the cover. And then I looked at a lot of other chick lit books to sort of see what other things that appealed to me. And then gave her samples of what those covers looked like.
Right.
And then told her, gave her narratives about who my characters were so she could define them in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. The book is My Lover's Keeper. How did you... Well, you said it took you 5 years to write it, right?
Yes.
It's a fiction book. Tell us a little bit about the story.
Well, as I said, it's a love triangle gone wrong. Right. It is inspired by real events that happened
really?
In my life.
So the triangle is actually two women and one guy, right?
It is.
Okay. Go ahead. What?
It's a wonderful, warm, toasty beach read, yeah. Which is like great for the weather right now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, but the theme of women fighting over a guy is something that's not new. Obviously, right? So, but it reminds me of like The Bachelor or something, you know, when everybody competes for the same guy. But this happens the other way too. I mean, guys fight over women as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think the dynamics of relationships are always interesting. I think for this book, though, one of the characters, well, the main character is a married woman who's having an affair with this man. And then this other woman comes into the picture that she invites into this what becomes
so he's
a love
dealing
triangle.
With, oh so my he's, God. But he's dealing with three women because... wait a minute.
Because he has an ex-wife.
Right. Yeah, whatever, you know. There's a million women around him, and everybody's fighting over this guy. So the guy must be pretty special in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah? He's a pretty good...
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, you know, maybe he's just good and bad. I don't
know. That's always a plus.
You have to read the story to find out.
I guess. Okay. So now, how much... So this is a work of fiction, first of all, right?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any of you in the book at all? No, I mean, the publicist is laughing because she knows the answer.
Yeah.
But we don't know yet, so we don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Are we playing with fire here trying
absolutely,
to
find Absolutely. There's so much of me in that book. You can learn a lot about Carrie Zane just reading the pages. Yes, but one of the characters is me, is something that... The story is inspired by something that happened in my life. I'm not going to tell you which character I am because I want you to read the book and figure it out and then come back and tell me who you think. Amy got it wrong.
Really?
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just, let's put it this way. If you were the one cheating, I don't think you'd put it in a book. But maybe.
hey.
Right?
Who knows?
No, that's right, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's not something to be proud of, though, you know, right?
I mean, I guess not, but it
somebody.
Happens.
No, you know? It does happen.
Like, I know it's... Right. I get what you're saying, but it's a part of your life.
No. I mean, absolutely. But all I'm saying is, I think most people are not going to be proud saying, hey, I went around cheating, you know? I mean, your prospect in finding a date are not very high, or finding a relationship if you admit to someone that you cheated. Wouldn't you say, Carrie?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of cheaters out there, and I think they find relationships all the time.
Yeah, but do they come out first and say, I mean, okay.
You're like, first date, hey, I'm a cheater, but...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay, so let's say not a first date, okay, but the third one.
The third one.
Yeah, the third one. I mean, would you come out and say, look, I actually, I had an affair while I was married.
Yeah, I'm a reformed cheater. You know, a lot of people, I think, find relationships while they're still in relationships, and then they move on to those relationships. So, I don't know, is that really cheating? I think that it's I think cheating is a very interesting word.
It is, actually, because it takes... like I'm not advocating it. I've actually never cheated.
Right.
But I will say... It takes two to tango, even though maybe one person is the quote-unquote cheater. You know, the relationship maybe wasn't being
strong
kept
in the
up
first place.
Anyway by both parties.
Right.
Like, if somebody is, you know, abusive or perpetually absent or whatever, not listening, and you're alone in the relationship, like, can you...
Well, but this is too obvious, but are all cheaters from that kind of background?
No. I believe that some people are just incapable of being faithful, sure. And then, you know...
That's a good point.
Yeah, and then you can't help that person. Maybe it's a perfectly perfect relationship and they're just going to cheat no matter what because they are insecure or for whatever reason.
Right. Or maybe there's someone in between the perfect relationship and the abusive one.
Right.
Every situation is different. You know, people maybe fall out of love or something, Carrie.
But how do you define cheating? Like, is it emotional cheating? Is it physical cheating?
That's true, too.
I think there are, like,
isn't it always
lots
both?
Of people. Not necessarily. I mean, no. I think that there are people who just physically need to interact with others. And then there are people, like, I get hit up from married men who, you know, they'll like on
I'm sure, right?
Facebook,
they do all the time.
And I'm like, if you're telling me that you're emotionally involved, or, you know, like you're attracted. I mean, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Like, is that cheating? If his wife found out, I don't think
like
she'd
she
be
would
happy
be happy
right.
no.
with the text
exactly.
that I have on my phone.
So that's why I think cheating... Cheating, I think, is anything you wouldn't admit to your spouse,
right.
don't you think?
And it's not a good thing. I mean, you should always, like, break it off first, I think. But it's not always that simple. I know every situation is different.
Unless you have an understanding.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Then
it's not
cheating, though.
Right.
No, if you have an understanding, it's an open relationship, right?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of, like...
that's better.
Well, we'll discuss that, too.
Okay.
I mean, God, I like that kind of an opinion. But they're talking about... polyamorous relationships now. Somebody told me in England it's getting to be pretty popular.
What does that mean?
It's pretty big here too, believe it
really?
Or not.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's like having more than one partner and it being okay.
But like how does the living arrangement work and stuff, I wonder?
I don't know if they have living arrangements.
Oh, when they're just dating.
Yeah, or something, you know? And just imagine, like, let's say I was in a relationship with a woman and we both agreed that we're going to have sex with other people, but maybe our relationship is going to be the only emotional one or the main one or
See,
something.
See, like,
right?
Okay, to each his own, but that never, I just don't think it ever works.
It wouldn't work.
Because you get
but
emotionally
it does for people,
involved.
Okay, so let's hear from
Carrie.
Women
she
do. Says,
I think women get more emotionally involved with men than men with women. And actually, science has shown that when women have orgasms, they actually feel falling in love.
Yes.
They actually get connected to somebody.
I can tell.
So if they're
I can tell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can tell.
I really need to know
I mean,
you.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes they start crying. I mean, what's that about?
Oh, God.
Wow, Sam.
No, but not a bad cry, let me tell you. I mean, how can you have a bad cry after an orgasm? Come on.
It's tears of joy.
Exactly.
Tears of joy.
That's what I mean. No, and there was always a conversation after that, like, oh, you know, that's when I realized how much I love you, blah, 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 and crying and all this, and I'm like... Okay. Yeah.
But for guys, it's not the same,
no,
right?
For guys,
you can
it's
have
not
an orgasm and go, whatever, next.
Yeah because right. I think biologically we're programmed differently, you know? And I was thinking about that because guys, it's like they're programmed to have as many partners as they want.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And for women,
see
it's different.
The planet.
Exactly. And for women, they need to select from many, but they only need one. To take care of the clan, you know, of the family, of whatever, to protect, to provide, you know. And so that's why it happens. I mean, our minds are roving all the time. And that's why, so I agree with Kelsey when she says sometimes it's not an emotional thing, you know. It depends on the situation, you know. Some people are just like maybe cheaters all the time. They have to... You know, but then you have to examine really what is wrong with them. You know, why can't you stay in a monogamous relationship?
Why
Let's say that's
they?
Not wrong.
Swan, I think only swans can do that. I don't think that humans were programmed to be monogamous for
absolutely,
your entire
I agree
lives.
With you.
And I think that we're living longer than we ever have.
Right.
And why do you want to be with the same person over and over? I'm a
I agree.
Serious,
I agree.
Monogamist.
You see, this
right
is my there. Philosophy. There you go. There you go. But I haven't had to cheat to get to that. But I did believe, I always believed, because you see, I was cheated on when I was very young. So I always like developed this like nerve, whereas it really hits me the wrong way when people do. Now, I'm not judging people. You know, but what I'm saying is for me, it's like I couldn't forgive someone if they cheated on me.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the you know, most important issue is just not hurting somebody. I mean, if your actions are going to really hurt somebody, you shouldn't do it.
Right.
And you should, you know, have an open conversation about it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean.
I know. Yeah. So, okay, but let's see really what Carrie thinks about this now. So you don't have to tell us, just not to give away the plot of the book, whether you were the cheating one or not. But the question is, what do you think? I mean, you just gave us an opinion. You don't think that we're monogamous. And I totally agree with you. That's why I think monogamous relationships have a lot of strain on them from the beginning. Because what happens is we're always attracted... Okay, talking about heterosexuals for a moment, okay? We're always attracted to the other sex. So it's like suddenly you're supposed to stop being attracted to the other sex when you meet somebody and get into a monogamous relationship. Right,
right, right.
And that's hard to do.
Right. That's why I think The Bachelor is such an anomaly, because if you think about it, he's got 25 women, right? And he whittles it down to a couple, and then exactly. they go into the suite.
Right.
Don't they all? And he has sex with all three of them. Yeah, and then he's
amazing.
Supposed to pick one and then be monogamous for the rest of his life
to
that one. After we've just seen that he's kissing all these women and sleeping. And,
that's
you know, like,
true.
Really, how does that work?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that we should have 5-year contracts. And then you can renegotiate and re-up for another 5 years with the person that you're with.
Uh-huh.
Or move on. Nobody gets hurt.
That's true.
All right, that's my
I love that philosophy.
But
because
the book, that's not what the book is about.
Okay, no, that's okay. But that's why you're here to discuss the topics as
all
well,
right.
you know, because we want to get a feel for, you know, for who you are, what you are, and these things, you know. So, and that's the show to be on, you know. But we're not going to ambush you with anything.
Go ahead.
Don't worry about it.
I can take it.
We're talking to Kerri Zane. That's KerriZane.com. You guys can go there and check out the book. You can check out everything that Kerri does, because she does a lot of things. Just reading from the menu, speaking, events, online program, press, TV, credits, singlemom.tv. Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
That is a lot of stuff.
What's Single Mom TV? I mean, first we have to assume that you're a single mom, right?
Yes.
Because you talk about that. You have... on KerriZane.com, you talk about single mom a lot. Single mom lifestyle expert.
Yeah.
Okay, so explain to us first, you're a single mom. How long have you been on your own with your child?
I have been on my own for 13 years. So my children are quite grown up. They're now 21 and 25. They're not babies
they're
anymore.
They're my age.
Yeah. But I went through a very traumatic divorce, and I decided at one point that I was going to – I didn't find any resources for myself. So my first book is a self-help book for single moms called It Takes All Five. And I created this universe to be a resource for women who were going through what I was going through at that time.
Right. Right. And It Takes All Five. What's the five? What does the five stand for?
Well, I had a five-finger philosophy in terms of how you heal yourself on the inside, how you heal yourself on the outside, and then how you move on and find a new relationship. And there are five aspects to that.
Okay. Well, do you want to talk about them?
Mine would be vodka, vodka, and more vodka.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's going to say, don't talk about them. Get the book instead.
But, yeah.
The book, It Takes All Five, A Single Mom's Guide to Finding the Real One. The real one what?
The real one relationship.
Mm. Have you found, did you find the real one relationship?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
You need all five.
You need all five.
You need all five.
So you haven't reached the five yet?
No.
Will you commit to that person when you reach the five?
For my 5-year plan.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to 5 years, and actually I did that. I did find somebody,
and he agrees.
For 5 years, and now we're renegotiating, and I'm not sure he's on the same page as me right now. But
yeah. Well, you know what? It's a great idea. I mean, so you're not just saying this like as an analogy. I mean, you're saying do an agreement.
Do as I do.
Wow.
I live my philosophy.
So I guess it must have happened. You were in a relationship and you realize, you know what? I don't really want to stay with this person for the rest of my life. Did you feel that you wasted your time with that person?
Never. I never feel like I waste my time with anyone or anything. And I did a lot of dating too over the 13 years that I was single, or I'm still single. But to me, they're relationships. They could be business relationships. They could be horrible people who I know I'll never want to be in a relationship with again. Or maybe I'll go to a restaurant that I think I've never been to and it's fabulous. I dated a man who was a wine connoisseur. I learned so much about wine. So I never waste time. I never feel like any moment that I live was wrong or bad or a bad choice.
I feel like that
even
too.
With my ex-husband.
Really?
You know what? I had great times. I learned so much. He taught me to be a TV producer.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long were you married to him?
12 years.
12 years. Okay. Well, that's two contracts and a half for you.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Wow. So he should consider himself extremely lucky.
He should.
To have been with you. Actually, two and a half terms, you know?
I know.
Wow. I'm not sure he feels that way, but he should.
Yeah, he should.
Now, Carrie, when did this first occur to you, though, that maybe that's a possible thing to do, to actually find someone who will negotiate an agreement with you and a contract or whatever, or and just say, okay, you know what, let's just do 5 years and then move on? When did you first think about this?
When I was writing my first book, I did a lot of research, and there seemed to be these studies that came up over and over again that support that. There's an anthropologist named Helen Fisher, and she ascribes to this. And if you read any of what she's written, yeah, she talks a lot about the life cycle of relationships and that how we are not meant to be monogamous for the full of our life. And
right.
She talks about having 5 or 7 year contracts. So it's not something that I necessarily made up. It's something that I found and I found is very powerful. And when I looked at the relationships in my life I'm older, so I've had a lot of relationships, and they all seem to have the ones that took were 5 years.
Wow.
It would be like 5 years and 5 years, yeah, and 5 years. And I was like, okay, 5 years seems like a good number.
You're right.
And it's a contract wife, basically.
Yeah.
Except I want the money up front.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though, is that somebody like that, I guess, yeah, you'd need a prenup in a situation like that. Right.
Right. Like, how would you handle that part? Well, I guess you just... I don't know.
Well,
keep your stuff separate.
People go through divorces every day,
don't they?
And there's lots of prenups, and I think that men and women are choosing to have those kind of arrangements. Why not be smart? You know, it's not just the woman who can, or the man that can lose money. I mean, there's lots of women who are very successful,
right?
And they sacrifice a lot too.
That's true. Absolutely, Carrie Zane. I guess this was your first book. Is It Takes All Five?
Yes.
And wow, so I mean, that's a revolutionary idea, I think, and so I salute you for that, if anything else, you know. I mean, maybe to you it didn't seem as, you know, as bizarre, but not bizarre, bizarre is not the right, but unusual, let's say. All right, I'm sure for most people they're gonna go, what is she talking about, you know? But I can relate to this, you know. I'm thinking a lot about us is habits that we've developed from long time ago. And a long time ago, people actually lived short lives, you know, so it made sense to be with the same person all your life if you died at 30, 35, you know. That's not a long
exactly.
life, you know. But we weren't meant, we weren't meant to live this long. I mean, look at people like aging now, and we keep them alive, but they're not okay. You know, I'm not saying about the healthy people, but people that are not healthy, it's because the body really was not designed to live so many years, you know, without breaking down. So, but going back to good things, I love the five thing. Do you actually have a written thing that you guys agree to?
When
you meet a man, with a 5-year relationship.
No.
I mean, so you just, it's an agreement.
Yeah, I mean, they think it's something that you can talk about.
Right. And you also, I mean, do you write like a date and it's the cutoff date? Or?
I know, right? Like, but what if you're like, no, I'm not ready?
Yeah.
Well, then you can renegotiate.
That's true.
I think everything in life is negotiation.
Yeah. And we do that anyway, except I think with your plan, with your method, it avoids having to go through nasty divorces, right?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah,
you see, it's pretty brilliant when you think about it. I mean, why... And you know what? You also don't spend a lot on a stupid wedding either, you know? Because, I mean, why spend like, you know, people spend like tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands on a wedding, and then they divorce 2 years later. It's like, what was the point?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you could have invested this money or done something with it.
Yeah.
And or with the prenups when it's, let's say many times the man has more money than the woman. So the woman wants a prenup or something. You know, I mean, that's clear that it's because things need to happen in a certain way. You know, I mean, people need to know. You know what? I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. I'm totally like confused, but I love this. I love
well,
this.
Well, Mary, we know what you're saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. You know, with the prenup, it's like you don't have to actually go through uncertainty.
Exactly.
It's like you're planning for everything.
Right. And some very wealthy people will do that. When they get married, they
totally.
Set up a financial plan. If and when they get divorced, how much is going to
exactly.
be settled?
Yeah.
And so there is no discussion and
yeah, and that doesn't have to be a fight. And
exactly.
still people fight, even when they have prenups,
yeah. right?
Right. Yeah, they even fight over that later,
yeah.
you know? So that's interesting.
And then you don't have these kind of situations, you know, where you have those triangles, because you can do what you said, which
yeah.
is stop and start a new relationship, so there's no female bad behavior.
I just dread the
on.
Whole moving thing. That's like the worst part.
Yeah.
Moving. Like the hassle of moving out of somewhere. Like, oh, God, call the U-Haul. Here we go again.
Yeah. Kerry Zane, you guys can go to kerryzane.com. That's KerriZane. Can't get much easier than that. You guys can find out a lot of stuff. Now, let's talk a little bit about the other things that you do. God, the time's just flown. She's like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, you probably can come back for three other more shows,
right.
you know, because there's so much to talk about. And so go to the website. You'll see a lot of things going on there. Now, Single Mom TV, .tv, we started talking about that. Tell me a little bit about that.
I do want to tell you about that, but I also just wanted to mention that
yes.
the book My Lover's Keeper, there's a website called myloverskeeper.com. So
oh,
if
anybody really?
Wants to pre-order the book
okay, go
and
there.
Get on board, you know, be the first one to have it in your neighborhood, because I know everybody wants that.
Yeah.
So you can take a look
yeah,
at
that. Yeah, good. You see, that's the thing. You got to take the initiative in an interview.
Apparently.
Exactly.
Apparently.
And you gotta...
Otherwise, you're going to walk all over me, Sam.
No, not true. I would get to all of this, but no, that's cool. You always get a chance to plug all the websites
yeah.
and everything, so don't worry about it. But yeah, go to myloverskeeper.com. I mean, obviously, she wants to for you guys to see the book, so go there. And what's this little video with the naked man in the shower here?
Well, oh, I don't know.
What's that?
Maybe people need to go to the website and see what that's all about.
Okay, well, you know what? There's a woman who's dressed and a man who's not. So that's also called, what did they call that?
Well, you know, because I'm a TV yeah. producer, I yeah. decided that I needed to do a book trailer, a video book trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's
how
what
cool
that is,
that?
My video book
that's
trailer.
Awesome.
So it just gives you a little insight as to what the story is about.
Cool. Well, I'm yeah. going to watch that.
Yeah. Next, you have to make it into
me.
A movie.
Yeah,
done.
You go.
No
done
way,
done,
really?
Already happening. Already.
Wow.
Happening.
Yeah.
And I'm writing the screenplay.
Really?
Yeah, because I should.
Yeah, you should.
Why not?
I'm just saying it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you are a producer. I mean, that's your day job, let's say, right?
Yes.
And so, how did you get into that?
Actually, that lovely ex-husband of mine had his own production company, and he said, hey, do you want to come and work with me? And I said, you know what? I've always wanted to work in television.
Yeah.
And I've always written stories and been creative. And so he taught me the business from the ground up, and I learned how to be a PA and a production coordinator, production manager, a producer. And then
yeah.
we sold our first TV show to NBC called Name Your Adventure. Mario Lopez was the host of my show.
How fun.
And we made kids' dreams come true. And that was what launched the career. We won a lot of awards for it. I did a school break that they used to do in the 90s. You probably remember those. And it was called My Indian Summer, and I won an Emmy for that.
Congratulations. How cool is that?
I did animated shows for CBS, and then did a lot of reality content, which is where I kind of landed and live now. And I'm producing some, you know, great – I love – the housewives shows, you know, those kind of arced stories where there are all these crazy
yeah.
characters.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So right now I'm working on a show called Foxy Ladies, which is one of those, I would say it's Bad Girls Club meets Vanderpump Rules with a little bit of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, all
because
right.
I'm writing the story. So,
whoa.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, you sound like very creative. I like that. So, So obviously, being a producer and everything, and being a writer, you were able to translate this into a film. Do you have a script for it yet?
I will.
You will.
Okay. Maybe by the time, you know, at the end of the week.
Okay. She's but looking at her watch.
I got 15 minutes. No, and I think that all of this is about telling stories, whether right. it's a real person's story or it's this fictional, what it's somewhat inspired by, fictional story. And I think that that's what keeps us going. You know, if there weren't the written word, there would be no entertainment. So, that's and true. I think it all starts with the writer and having that vision to create something. Yeah. And we are, like, as we talk about, relationships, and relationships are such a rich place to find stories, and I think we're all compelled to it because we all are in relationship or looking for relationship, and yeah. and that's what the book is about. It really tests what you think and how you feel about relationships, you know, because mm-hmm. because on the surface you think a cheater is just a bad person,
right?
But when you get to know the character and you get to know the story, then you think, well,
yeah, you
I
see
know.
There's like okay motives there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're yeah. saying. Right, right. Yeah. Well, I still hate cheaters, but... No, but you know, like I said, look, my philosophy is this. I agree with just about everything you said, your view on relationship and everything. I've always said also, who says that you have to be with someone for the rest of your life? You know, why? I mean, it had to come from somewhere.
The church.
The church. Yeah, because mm-hmm. that's where everything started. Because it was part of everybody's lives, you know, like 1,000 years ago or whatever. But you know, so I agree with everything. But what I say is, and that's what I practice, is if I feel the relationship has run out of steam, I'm not attracted to that person anymore. For me, I never left a relationship because I found someone else during that relationship. So it wasn't like that. But I always say that when that is the situation, you just end what you have first and then you move on to the next one. I know sometimes it's hard.
I think that's a little idealistic.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
So tell me why not. At what situation, for example, we have a couple minutes. I think this is a great way to wrap up the show. Okay? Tell me under what condition it's okay to cheat on a person.
Under what conditions is it okay to cheat?
Yeah.
You know, I think we talked about cheating, the definition of cheating, and I don't say that anybody should cheat. I think that there has to be an agreement. And so I think if you get to a place in a relationship where you're not happy or it's not working, then you need to talk about it. And if it's not going to work,
right,
you need to find a different path. And whether that is we're staying together because we have kids or we're staying together because we can't financially split, but we're going to romantically or emotionally right. move on, and that's agreed to,
right.
then that's how you progress in that relationship. So it's cheating. I don't know that cheating is ever right. I think cheating happens. It just happens because
yeah.
I don't know that people can be honest, like truly honest.
Right. Yeah. The only thing is, I'll tell you why I think cheating is bad, because it's devastating to the other person. To the cheated person, you betraying trust. And that's the thing. My question to you is this. Again, you're giving us also an idealistic situation, whereas you agree in advance to do this. But most traditional relationships are not like that.
Right.
So you're in a relationship. You've been married to someone for a couple of years. Okay, so your sex life is not going great. Let's say I feel shitty about myself, about the way I look or something. I don't feel attractive to my wife, whatever. She doesn't get the sex she wants. She goes with another guy. That makes me feel even shittier about myself. The question is, how was this good for anybody? See what I'm saying? And on that note, folks, excuse me, I almost coughed. Okay. And on that note, folks, My Lover's Keeper, go to the website, check it out, myloverskeeper.com. Great domain. I mean, it's amazing.
Thank
you were able to get it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Congratulations to you. Maybe one day you'll retire just on the domain name.
Right.
You never know. But until then, we hope you do very well with the book.
Thank you.
Everybody check out Kerry Zane. You can either Google her or just go to her website, Kerri. ZANE.com. Also, the other book, tell us again, what was the name of it?
Takes All Five, A Single Mom's Guide for Finding the Real One.
Great. And that's where you discussed your philosophy and everything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish you'd brought us a copy of that one.
Next time.
Next time. Amy, get us one, okay? Amy, just say hi.
Hi, everybody.
Well, we can't hear you. Closer.
Hi, everybody. I think you should post Carrie's book trailer to your website because it's very... There's a lot of eye candy. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, all right.
Sounds good. Well, we'll put a link to it.
How's that?
Okay.
Good.
Awesome. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're a lot of fun, and you're welcome back anytime because you're full of information.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, what the hell? You know, we'll clear up the time for you. You can come in. But no, we'll definitely plan for you to come back because there's still a lot more, I think, to talk about this.
Absolutely.
We haven't even scratched the surface, really.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the book. Everybody, go get it. Available May 3rd, right? Everywhere, pretty much, where there's books?
Everywhere. Amazon. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online.
Right. Probably through your website as well, right?
Everything links back to, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
To buying.
Yeah.
To buying.
Right.
Exactly. Get your wallets out, folks. She worked hard on this 5 friggin' years, okay? And she put a lot of effort into this. The least you can do is go out and buy the book. If nothing else, great story. You know what? It's a chick flick or chick lit, right? Whatever. But I would love to read this. I used to read something like, Nancy Friday, women's fantasy books and things like that.
Oh, you know? My gosh.
Yeah, I used to read a lot of stuff at one point.
I think you'll like the sex scenes.
I think, but no, not just that, really. I mean, I'm into relationships, really.
Okay, you can skip over chapter 11.
Okay.
All right.
Chapter 11 of all chapters, right? Is it the bankruptcy chapter? I don't know. Carrie Zane, thanks again for joining us. Kelsey, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.